This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Statements there, Dr. Gorka. Tell us where you see this going in terms of an investigation of who else is out there. What other terrorists are in America right now?
Well, right now we have, as your previous guest noted, more than 900 leads being investigated by the FBI in every single state of the union. What we need to know right now is who this person was connected to, how were they accessing ideological material, who those ideologues were. This person killed 50 people. That is more than one magazine worth of rounds inside a rifle, inside an AR rifle. This means he probably had some kind of training. Who gave him that training? We have to find out the broader network, and most importantly, not just the connections to ISIS or jihadis, but who are the ideologues, the people he was in touch with that spun him up to do this attack now during the season of Ramadan. I know the FBI are doing this right now. We have to give them as much leeway as possible and stop the political correctness.
Yeah, and they were very clear that this is the beginning of the investigation. We should point out that the police and the FBI have already done an excellent job. At least 9 officers were involved in this shootout. According to lawmakers earlier in their press conference, several coroner vans were seen traveling toward the nightclub, and one officer did suffer an eye injury when a bullet struck his Kevlar helmet. The helmet is being said to have saved his life. At this point, we will learn more from the authorities, Dr. Gorka. As a final comment here, what are you looking for in terms of President Obama? Are you expecting a comment from the president today?
Absolutely. He must make a statement, and he must not go towards gun control. This isn't about gun control or hate crimes. If he goes there, then we know he hasn't learned anything in the last 7.5 years. It has to be about taking the fight to the global jihadi movement. Every single member, we have to delegitimize their ideology and support the Muslims in the region of the Middle East that are best positioned to destroy ISIS. So we need to talk honestly about the threat and take politics out of any statement he makes today.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because already we have seen many people go right where you just mentioned. I want to point out to our audience that we're looking at live pictures of the gunman's home. This investigation is alive and very much in the early stages, according to our police sources this morning.
You know, the gunman's home, I got to tell you, Scott, you know, we're here in Port St. Lucie, not too far away. Orlando, you know, not that far away either, you know, from where we are here on the East Coast these days. This is very sobering. And, you know, this whole situation, and it should be. And I appreciate Dr. Gorka's experience and his admonition here that we've got to stay away from, you know, this being a hate crime and it's about gun control. You know, it's much more profound than that. I mean, the current thinking, the contemporary thinking and direction of this country has got us to this point where over 50 people are dead, 53 injured. You know, that toll could increase in the days ahead, depending to the degree of, you know, the injury that those that are injured have sustained. Dr. Cork, of course, the author of the book Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, he in that book lays out specific strategy, which is making significant waves in the political narrative. I mean, this is an expert that knows from what he is talking about. You know, the question is America listening? Are our political leaders listening? We have been warned. We were told that an attack was imminent, that part of Ramadan, the jihad went out saying that, you know, amongst other targets, Florida would be one of them. Well, here they are. They were able to accomplish, and this is a big victory, I'm sure, as they are seeing and the way they're celebrating it. Well, the conversation will continue. This is Bill Martinez live, just about five after the top of the hour right now, America.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Back with you. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Our conversation about Obamacare continues. We appreciate Dr. John Guymon with us earlier talking about his ideas. And up next is Brian Rotella, founder of the Rotella Legal Group and contributor to The Hill. He's looked into the potential downside of Obamacare's accountable care organization model. He says that participating doctors and hospitals already feeling the squeeze for reimbursement may, out of fear of financial risk, be more conservative in their care, ultimately leading to rationing. Yes, we heard about that when the Affordable Care Act was being debated and Republicans were left out of the discussion. This was something that was brought up. And how realistic are we there yet to really, you know, consider rationing taking place, especially with these costs, the way they're looking at it. And as Dr. John Guymon pointed out earlier, the way he pointed out earlier is that, hey, look at, these entities, they have to make money. And if they see that this thing is slip sliding away, not to mention the fact that, the government is being called out and, President Obama and his minions, in terms of, whether or not they can support the downfall, or at least the down forecast of money being realized by these providers. This brings up a whole other issue altogether. Brian Rotella is with us right now, and he'll break it down and help us understand this very complex deal. Brian, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm terrific, Bill. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, help us understand this mess. I mean, this started out, 2,800 pages. Our congressmen, our senators have not read the bill. I would probably say probably less than 5% from what I have found out. And I tried to read the bill. I got about five pages deep, and my brain was about ready to explode. And that was the bill itself. That's not counting the 20,000-plus pages of associated regulations that continues to grow day by day with us.
That's absolutely right, Bill. And if I can digress for just one moment, I'm based in Tampa in my law firm, Rotella Legal Group. So we're only about 50 miles down the way from Orlando, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that were affected by what happened this weekend, which is obviously at the front of mind. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, being Florida-based. But
yes, thank you.
Going to your point, don't feel bad, Bill. I think I may be a masochist or something else, and that I'm one of only a few people that I know. My wife probably thinks it's crazy that I have actually read the entire ACA. When I was starting my firm, Rotella Legal Group, which we serve as outside general counsel to healthcare companies across the country in a unique model, I had some time on my hands. And in reading it, the only comparison I can make is that if you've seen the movie JFK, for your audience, when Kevin Costner's character is reading the Warren Commission.
Yeah.
Coming from where I came from, which was I spent the first 9 years of my career in Los Angeles and here in Florida defending healthcare providers, doctors, nursing homes and hospitals. My mom's a retired nurse, and my grandmother was one of the first registered nurses in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And seeing what was in Obamacare from a perspective of the accountable care organizations and the lack of any meaningful tort reform was basically frightening, because you could see the writing on the wall that ultimately trial lawyers were going to have a tremendous opportunity to right or wrong file lawsuits that could have a direct impact on the system as a whole.
Hmm. Well, and you're talking something here, Brian, in terms of, I mean, you've got the Affordable Care Act, which is complicated to begin with. Now let's really make the waters even more murky. Let's bring in the legal side and really even make this even more complicated, right?
That's correct, Bill. What the public is very aware of is the parts of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare that deal with premiums. We get that when we have to go out and get our new insurance and our rates went up. Mm-hmm. We're aware of pre-existing conditions and those no longer being rated by the insurance companies. We're aware of keeping kids on parents' insurance to 26. We're aware of the employer mandate. What folks like me, and I sit in a lot of boardrooms as a general counsel, are very aware of, but the rest of the public isn't quite aware of, is what the ACA really did is it changed the financial model of the healthcare system entirely. I was listening to your prior guest, Dr. Guymon, who I thought did a wonderful job of explaining it. But that's the real piece that changed here. And what I mean by that is when all of us go to the doctor, we're used to what's called fee-for-service, or that's what we used to be used to, where you go in to have your annual exam, and there's a certain fee for that, and that's what was charged either to you to pay privately out of pocket or to your insurance company. What Obamacare did under its section called the Medicare Shared Savings Program is it put these accountable care organizations into play. And what these accountable care organizations are groups of doctors and sometimes hospitals, all independent, that come together to form a legal entity, an LLC or some type of corporate entity. And the goal of that accountable care organization is to keep costs down and to follow what's called evidence or value-based medicine based on guidelines, standard guidelines that they feel are going to keep this patient population well.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly for, again, the Medicare population or folks over the age 65. I'm sure there's many folks in your audience who their doctors are part of ACOs. There's over 700 of these nationally now, not mm-hmm. all government-sponsored. Many of the private insurance companies are involved, who may not even know that they're part of an ACO. And going back to your lead-in, the logical risk that comes when you've got a system of ACOs that are built on cost containment and value-based medicine, it runs counterclockwise to the way doctors have grown up in their education and the way that they have had to grow up in the legal environment. What I mean by that is doctors in their training, having represented them my whole career, mm-hmm. they're taught to look for what we call the zebra. Go to the emergency room, and anyone out there who's been there, you may spend hours getting test after test after test. A big reason for that is they're looking for, is this just a basic issue that you have, or is it something that's far deeper that could put your life in jeopardy?
Right.
Second side of that, Bill, is that there's studies out. Back in 2011, there was a study that says that 53% of emergency room doctors, the reason they order all the tests they order, because they're afraid of lawsuits.
Without a doubt. Yeah, exactly.
So it's defensive medicine. So you have the Affordable Care Act being put in place, encouraging doctors and providers, and in fact incentivizing them for survival on a cost containment, wellness and value-driven model. And the people that are supposed to be implementing this, the doctors and the hospitals and healthcare providers, have grown up in a system where more services, more tests, is what they've had to do for their entire career.
Well, I guess part of the challenge I have here, Brian, is that, you know, in this redefinition of delivery of healthcare, we're messing around with people's life, like you say. I mean, how would you like it if your profession, somebody came in as an outsider and said, hey, we're going to redefine the legal system. And everything that you have learned up to now, is out the door. And this is kind of being done to you. And you're having very little opportunity to participate and how it's being redefined and how it's being remodeled. Let's talk about that when we come back after the break. Brian Rotella, founder of the Rotella Legal Group, is with us. We're talking Obamacare on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you for being with us 15 after the top of the hour.
At Web.com, want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or these over 280 affiliates that we have across the country, and including now, we've just expanded to Red State Talk Radio is carrying us live every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Eastern on their Encore channel. And we welcome them aboard, and not to mention our affiliate on Shortwave that takes us around the world out of Nashville, Tennessee, WWCR. Thank you so much for being on board. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour right now. Our conversation with Brian Rotella, founder of Rotella Legal Group, is with us as we talk about Obamacare feeding the trial lawyers. You know, Brian, like anything that is associated with our government, it just seems that we always have to deal with these unintended consequences, huh?
That's so true, Bill. And before break, you made a really interesting analogy about lawyers and changing the model. My firm,
yes.
Rotella Legal Group, we actually pride ourselves on being lawyers for businesses and healthcare providers who don't like lawyers. What I mean by that is I've been in all facets of the profession, and I hate the billable hour. So a big part of what I do is trying to get outside partners, legal partners, out of the billable hour model, and we face a ton of resistance. Now, a lot of folks think of lawyers that bill hours as if they're trying to crank up an invoice or ultimately what the cost would be to them. A lot of times lawyers are billing so much because they're doing research and they're trying to protect themselves from some type of malpractice suit. So to take your analogy further, doctors, a lot of the workup that they're doing, again, is defensive because they fear lawsuits. And, you know, this wasn't something that the folks that put Obamacare in place were blind to. You look at the legislative history, the trial lawyers lobby actively lobbied to keep any meaningful tort reform out. In fact, Peter Orszag, who you know, Bill, was the former director of the White House Office of Management and Budget Reform, stated lawmakers missed an important opportunity to shield from malpractice liability any doctors who followed evidence-based guidelines in treating their patients by largely failing to include medical malpractice reform measures in the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
So the government went and incentivized doctors to be more conservative and did not provide them with any of the meaningful tort reform steps that other entities, similar entities like HMOs and managed care entities, or even the providers themselves, already had in place. And that's a huge hole. And whenever there's a hole like that, someone's going to take advantage of it for right or wrong reasons.
Exactly. Well, we know that George W. Bush, and you know, after the 2004 re-election, he thought he had a lot of political capital, and he thought he would tackle, you know, this whole issue of medical malpractice and tort reform. And you know, it's tough when you go in a room filled with attorneys and you tell them that you want to redefine their model. He was all but tarred and feathered on his way out the door, wasn't he?
No, that's so true, Bill. And, you know, we look at it today, and your prior guest was talking about the different things that may happen with the ACA. This accountable care organization movement or accountable care movement, my opinion that regardless of whether the ACA is repealed and replaced or Hillary Clinton wins and it becomes a universal payer system, the accountable care model is kind of like the HMO model of the 90s. It's going to be here for a while. What every industry expert I talk to believes. A lot of people feel that there's some good value to it. But you asked me a question or in your lead-in about care rationing. The reason this is becoming really ripe now is that accountable care organizations, for the first few years that they were implemented under the ACA, all they were getting was the bonus. They have to report to the government. So we have another step of centralized government. They have to report their quality metrics up to the government through an electronic health care record, and if they meet those metrics, they were getting a bonus of the savings that ultimately the government was getting for these folks that are on Medicare. Just now in 2016, Medicare launched the first group of what are called next generation ACOs.
Mm-hmm.
These are the first ACOs, there's 21 of them nationally, there's one here in South Florida, that have the opportunity to be what we call fully at risk. Meaning if they're able to stay within their margins and keep their budgets under control, they will be able to keep some of the quote-unquote windfall.
Mm-hmm.
If they go into the red, they're going to owe money. So that's where this is now becoming an extremely ripe issue, and the trial lawyer community is waiting for that example, that patient that comes in, and it takes a little time, where a test wasn't ordered. Somebody has, unfortunately, something bad happened to them, whether it's a misdiagnosis of cancer or something else that would be so tragic as that. And what they're going to be looking for in discovery in those lawsuits, was there a budgetary reason compared to a clinical reason for that decision? Bill, in my experience, lawsuits in the medical malpractice space, and I tell all the doctors I've ever represented, aren't about clinical issues. They're about customer care issues and customer service issues.
Right.
And the best trial lawyers are the ones that make their trial theory around the theory of corporate greed over patient need. This model's been set up under the ACO to allow them to do that easily, and without providing the doctors with basic tort reform protection, they're sitting there basically exposed.
This is going to be a feeding frenzy for trial lawyers.
That's what I wrote, and using the analogy to the, you know, the shark in Jaws, unfortunately, it's swimming underneath the water, and not many doctors or healthcare providers are aware of it. In fact, the insurance industry, doctors, just like all of us get car insurance, doctors, they live every year by their renewal of their medical malpractice insurance.
Exactly.
I can tell you, the insurance carriers right now are having a hard time figuring out how to cover this. And that in itself is going to cause some issues, because there's nothing that trial lawyers like better than getting different insurance coverages pointing fingers at each other.
Exactly. Well, we're incentivizing once again. We find ourselves incentivizing all the wrong behavior here. I mean, at a time we're losing doctors when we need more doctors, we're encouraging them to head for the exit.
That's so true, Bill. And look, there are some easy fixes folks should know. The reason that HMOs or managed care organizations, which have been around since the 90s, the reason they don't get sued in trial court, where you see the big verdicts happen, for folks to know the difference, trial court's when you get the jury summons in the mail and you show up on Monday morning and you get pulled off the street to be in front of a jury in a Med-Mal case. The reason HMOs and managed care organizations don't have that exposure is they're under, and I don't want to throw your folks into the legal weeds, but a law called ERISA, which basically keeps those suits out. Back during the ACA discussions, when they were going over the bill, it was discussed whether this thing was going to be ERISA exempt. To this date, they have not put ACOs under ERISA, which would be an easy fix. In addition, there's states like New York that are recognizing ACOs for what they're trying to do, all the good stuff as far as value-based and wellness and keeping people out of the hospital, and they're trying to protect these entities. Other states are going to have to file suit, or at least we're going to need some leadership at the federal level that understands you cannot set a program up like this and leave a hole where ultimately the folks providing the services are going to end up paying the cost, and that's going to be the doctors, which ultimately means the patients are going to pay the cost.
Well, Brian, you know, as you mentioned, one of the things that came out loud and clear for me in my earlier conversation, and you seem to be echoing the same thing a little bit here, and that is the political implication. You know, when you have something as huge as healthcare that represents a sixth of this country's economy, and politicians scrambling for credit, like they want to be the answer, and they want to get credit for, you know, leading the way and being the big victors, and, you know, for President Obama, part of his legacy, you know, this gets in the way of being able to affect a feasible program that is win-win for we the people.
Bill, I couldn't agree anymore, and a big part of my job and corporate counsel like me is working on deals for small businesses, and the big part of what we do is due diligence and making sure we've looked at everything before a deal closes, so that, think about for your audience, when they buy a house, so you don't have some suit or some claim afterwards. If I were the doctors and the healthcare providers, post passage of the ACA, quite frankly, I would be looking back at the due diligence that looked like something that was rushed. And then there's other folks that probably think there was more nefarious of an intent.
Exactly. Brian Rotella, founder of Rotella Legal Group, has been with us. Brian, thank you so much. Topic, Obamacare, feeding the trial lawyers on Bill Martinez Live.
Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
According to the Mayo Clinic, your bones are continuously changing. New bone is made and old bone is broken down. Now, when you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone and your bone mass increases. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people reach their peak bone mass at around 30. After that, bone remodeling continues, but you lose slightly more bone mass than you gain. Now, how likely you are to develop osteoporosis, a condition that causes bones to become weak and brittle, depends on how much bone mass you attain by the time you reach age 30 and how rapidly you lose it after that. The higher your peak bone mass, the more bone you have in the bank, and the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis as you age. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we focus on absorbability of bone-building calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, and boron. Try our 98% healthy body, bone, and joint pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, and good to have you along with us, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and I'm really excited to have James Stone back with us. Jim is CEO of the Plymouth Rock Group, a former Harvard professor, and he says, please do not hold that against him. He's one of the good guys. He's the past chairman of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, and he has a plan to catapult the U.S. education system into one of the strongest in the world. I mean, this is a plan with substance that is featured in his book, Five Easy Theses, Common Sense Solutions to America's Greatest Economic Challenges. James Stone, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thanks. Glad to be back.
Yeah.
And please do call me Jim.
Yeah, Jim, you know, when we were, talking off air here, we were talking about the wackiness of this campaign, probably unlike any that you and I could ever remember in our lifetimes.
It is an unusual campaign, and it's very hard in this campaign for people to raise the in-depth substantive issues that the country has got to face.
Mm-hmm. Well, for so long, in the name of political correctness, we couldn't be able to, you know, we couldn't talk about it. We can thank Dr. Ben Carson in part for kind of knocking down the wall, which he was famous for doing that in the presence of one Barack Obama at a presidential prayer breakfast. And I think it was probably Barack Obama was praying during, you know, Ben Carson's speech going, you know, oh, Lord, how do I get out of this deal? But still, it went a long way in knocking down these walls of political correctness and calling it out for what it is. And then you have Donald Trump coming in that, you know, he's a bull in a china shop. So the heck with political correctness. Let's just get this. Let's just talk about this stuff as uncomfortable as it is. But the other thing that we have to be careful about, Jim, and you and I were talking about this, is that it's one thing to have a discussion, but let's have a smart discussion. Let's deal with substance here and get it out of the realm of the emotion, you know?
Well, unfortunately, our current political system really doesn't reward thoughtful, careful analysis as part of a campaign. You know, even if a politician really wants to do that, nowadays campaigns seem to be about sound bites and attacks and negativism, and it's all sort of impulsive, quick thinking work that isn't the kind of analysis that's going to actually solve our economic problems.
Jim, I agree with you in part, but I also put the pressure back on those that are, you know, that are talking. And there's a lot of pressure in understanding, yes, you've got an 8-second soundbite, so you better make it count. Words do matter, and it's still about the message, and you know that this is the format that this country operates in, so we need to wise up and be very selective and, I guess, targeted with the speech that we put out there so that we can be effective. Otherwise, we just kind of, you know, we have what we have today in America where, you know, the only way people can get headlines is they got to say something ridiculous or, you know, that really takes us away from anything of substance that ultimately is what we would hope we would achieve, right?
Well, we certainly agree that far, that the pen is still mightier than the sword.
Yes.
And, you know, the I think a British economist said to his parliament once that people in parliament didn't realize it, but they were all slaves of dead economists. And the fact is that shaping the debate is what matters in the long run. So, you know, when I wrote Five Easy Theses, that's what I'm trying to do, is to have a long-run effect on the debate.
Yes.
I don't know that somebody can easily do that in the middle of a campaign. I'd like to try, so that's where we agree.
Well, I think the opportunity here is, and I guess me, you know, my dad always said, you know, about me that I'm the ultimate optimist, is I'm always looking for a pony in that pile of manure somewhere, you know, but it's just, that's the way it is. Even when we do the show, I just hope that I can come up with the right words and the right expression to, you know, make a difference, because words, as you say, words matter, and therein lies the opportunity, and that can we get those words that are going to unite people, and, you know, your book Five Easy Theses goes a long way to add substance to the conversation, whereas, it's, you know, you can't handle Five Easy Theses in an 8-second soundbite. You know, our lives are much more important and much more significant than these 8-second soundbites, and I guess this is what America, I hope anyway, and what I'm starting to see is waking up to anyway, Jim.
Well, I agree with that. But, you know, the way I view our political system now is that if the public doesn't really form a view on something, and maybe this supports exactly what you were saying a minute ago, but if the public doesn't form a view on something, then vested interests get to make all the decisions because they know what they want.
Yes.
And they're willing to pay for it in campaign contributions. The public can overrule them. But it's got to do it, and it's got to do it by having a view on these sort of big issues. And so that's why I wrote about inequality and healthcare and education and Social Security and Wall Street. You know, these are the big issues of our economic times, and I think the public can force the politicians to take positions on them, but so far it hasn't.
Well, you know, speaking of education, and you and I, we keep, every time we talk, we want to get to this, so I'm going to get to it. I'm going to force myself to get to this early because you and I can chew on these other issues. But, you know, we think about the money that we've invested in education, and to have the results that we have in America is just disgusting. It is so un-American what we're doing with our educational system today.
Well, I don't know whether I want to call it un-American. I think that our educational system is certainly performing at the K through 12 level below where it ought to.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be deeply embarrassed by this. Some really smart guy, he happened to be, I think, the president of MIT at the time, which probably is something that indicates he's a smart guy, said years ago that if there were a vote of all the educators in the world on what country had the best graduate schools, the United States would get all the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a vote on what country had the best colleges, we'd get at least half the votes. But if you had a vote on who had the best K through 12 system, we wouldn't get any votes. And I'm afraid that's correct. And there's no excuse for it. I mean, we are the richest country in the history of the world. So why should we have a mediocre K through 12 system?
Exactly. Well, when I say, Jim, when I say un-American, I mean that which represents the values and the standards that we've become infamous for. That, I mean, they've been so outstanding, we have a president that wants to apologize for them. But still, I believe the majority of Americans believe that we are exceptional. But we're not exceptional just because we say so. We're willing to put in the hard work, the investment behind it. It's just that we're just not getting the kind of results that we should be getting for the amount of money we're putting into these areas.
Yeah, the irony is that we are spending the money, but we are not getting good K through 12 results, really, for almost anybody. The exception is, right, if you're lucky enough to be both wealthy and brilliant, or maybe if you're one of the two, either wealthy or brilliant, it's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna do just fine, right? You're gonna get to go to an elite college, and everything will be hunky dory.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, most people are not either wealthy or
they're not one of Trump's kids. They're not one of Trump's kids.
I think Obama's kids just get into Harvard too.
Yeah,
but you know, those are kids who are going to do well under any circumstances. The problem is that for 90-something percent of the kids, we're not doing the right thing anymore. 70% of people are not ever going to graduate from a college, and we're not giving them the education they need to have good jobs. And so we're failing them. And then of the ones that do go to college, most of them are not either so brilliant or so wealthy that they're going to get full scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And we saddle them with costs that cripple them for years to come. So we're just not doing the right job for almost anybody, and we can fix it. We're a wealthy country with good values.
Yeah.
Wealthy country, good values can do anything.
Yeah, and we're a lot smarter than this, Jim. I mean, you know, and as you say, I think ultimately there's got to be a career path. I mean, you talk about jobs and how many jobs we've lost, and, you know, what do these kids that are graduating have to go to? But we'll continue that conversation on the other side of the break. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour. Jim Stone, CEO of Plymouth Rock Group, is with us. You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply nitrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Again, 855-305-8326.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Reached Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live, and our conversation continues with James, you can call me Jim Stone, CEO of the Plymouth Rock Group, former Harvard professor, past chairman of the Commodities Future Trading Commission. Jim, you know, we're fortunate here because we don't travel in 8-second sound bites, so I'm going to give you a little bit more time here to, you know, attack this educational system and to come up with some solid solutions. I'm going to make you king. So you're king. What do you do about this educational system?
Well, first of all, I think I want to return to a republic, so I'm going to give up my crown.
Kingship, okay. Well, you and George Washington, I understand. Okay, I like you already.
But maybe before I do that, mm-hmm. I'll try to tell you what I would do about the education system. The problem is that we don't seem as a country to be able to do what other countries do, which is to train a large number of people, all those people who won't get college degrees, and as I said, that's about 70% of the public, mm-hmm. for occupations while in high school. So, okay, I accept that. For whatever reason, we want somehow to do one size fits all in high school, and that seems to be the national will. But if we're going to do that, then we have to give them this occupational training after that. Mm-hmm. And we can do that. And so I, for other reasons, have always kind of liked the idea of a universal national service program. I think it's patriotic. I think it's good for young people who are kind of drifting at that age sometimes. And, you know, it's good to mix people, that is, to have people get to know people that they didn't grow up with. So for all of those reasons, I kind of like it anyway. Yeah. But what I feel strongly about is that if we're not going to do it in high school, we got to do it afterwards. So during that year or two of service, a kid can learn serious skills that are going to be vocationally, occupationally important. And if they then go on to a university, by working during that time, they can have earned substantial credits towards paying for a college education. Mm-hmm. So for those who are going to go to college and for those who aren't, it provides an answer. It's a big stretch, but I think we ought to do it.
I don't think it's all that big a stretch, frankly. I mean, but if the challenge is communicating the benefit, because that's what they want to know. What's in it for me? Well, you want to be successful. And, you know, the 2 years, I'm with you. I believe 2 years should be, you know, that's part of the buy-in to be a citizen, is that you support what the cause here, but it's good. It's going to be good for them along, which you didn't mention much right there, in terms of the maturation process. I mean,
yeah.
We're getting these kids coming out of high school, and some of them, unfortunately, have spent more time in front of video games than they have in front of the textbook.
Well, that's right, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of people who criticize national service say these would be make-work jobs. I don't believe that at all.
Mm.
We've got social services, particularly for the elderly, that need to be done. We've got the military. We've had that all along. And then, on top of that, we could fix our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a problem for the United States that we're not reinvesting in infrastructure.
Exactly.
Go back to the Eisenhower administration. Mm-hmm. He said it was one of the proudest things that he ever did, President Eisenhower, to build the highway system. And look at the dividends it's paid. So we can rebuild the bridges. We can rebuild the roads. We can rebuild the schools. That there's so much infrastructure rebuilding that we could do. So infrastructure rebuilding, social services, military.
Yeah.
Give the young people their choice, but have them do something good for the country. And they'll end up much better off, as you say. They want to know what's in it for them. Well, the answer is, if they're going to college, it'll help pay for it. And if they're not going to college, they will have learned a vocational skill that's going to be useful the rest of their lives.
They've got skin in the game now, Jim.
That's right.
And
that's,
I mean,
right.
And how easy is this? I mean, these kids are out of work. The unemployment rate for these kids is skyrocketing.
That's right.
It's off the Richter scale. Let's get them to work. Let's give them a sense of pride and productivity. I mean, this is win-win all the way around. And last time I checked, our infrastructure is hugely lacking, and it needs some attention.
It is absolutely lacking. I think in the book I quote a survey by an engineering society in the United States that gives us grades of A through F on something like 20 categories of infrastructure. I think we got no A's. We got one B minus, and the rest are like C's, D's, and F's. And the fact is, we can fix all of that, but we can do it in a way that makes all these kids better off. So I think we ought to do it. And so, you know, I said it's a stretch. You said maybe not. I don't know the answer to that. But you know, until it's debated, we aren't going to know what the public feels. And I think the public can be convinced this is a really good idea.
Well, when we turn it upside down, and I guess this is where the stretch comes in, Jim, and I would agree with you, is that we've got to get outside of self-interest. And I think that's what's been driving the educational system and some of these ideas, is that we're on personal agendas as opposed to the objective that supports the concept of this republic and we the people. When it's all about institutions and systems that have been proven time and again to be ineffective, I mean, what is it going to take? I mean, I think this is why the country is looking for a guy like Donald Trump, who's used to telling people they're fired, is that maybe we need to fire this government and this system and really turn it upside down. Now, that is a stretch. And I only say it because, having been, you know, born and raised in California, I spent half my life now in Florida these days. But I look over in California and I saw what happened with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, Californians thought when Schwarzenegger took over the governor's mansion that things were really going to change. You know, we had a new sheriff in town. He was going to really make this work. And he found out real quick that the bureaucracy is a lot stiffer and a lot more established than somebody who comes in, you know, with banner 50s and an attitude.
Well, there's no question that democracy can be messy, and that ours is particularly messy right now, with the parties not even civil to one another in Washington. But. You know, democracy still works better than other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And if people will take the time to learn the issues and then lead their politicians, instead of expecting the politicians to do all of the brave work themselves, well, I think the public can cause these things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it ought to. want to.
And I agree with you. That's the way our founders designed this. It's about we the people. It's a government of, for, and by we the people. But if we the people disengage, you have the 21st century America that you have today, ladies and gentlemen. How do you like that stuff?
Well, and some things in some fundamental sense, some things are not optional. And education is not optional for a successful country. Mm. You know, we can say, let's not do A or let's not do B, but we can't say, let's not educate our kids.
Exactly.
We must do that.
Let's say this, Jim, Ken, if I can say this with all due respect. I mean, you're, a Harvard professor. You know what's happening in academia. I should say, I want to say, let's not indoctrinate our children. Let's educate them. And I think that what happens, at least what I am seeing and getting from the reports that are coming across my desk, is that academia has gone more by way of indoctrination than education.
Well, if I may correct one tiny technical point. I was never a professor. I was what was called a lecturer at Harvard, which is a different kind of position. It's not on the tenure track anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I indoctrinated my students. Mm-hmm. I taught them about securities markets, and I taught them, I think, pretty well about how securities markets work, how the stock market works, how the bond market works. And I don't believe that they were indoctrinated. But I will tell you that the kids that I was teaching are not the kids that need this help, mm-hmm. right? If you go to one of these super elite schools and you're lucky enough to have the talent and whatever it is to get in, then if you can't afford it, the school is going to pay. But there are very few schools like that.
Right.
And so these are the unusual cases. You can't run a nation on the way things work for Harvard students.
Mm. Well,
Harvard students are lucky.
Yes, no doubt. You get these elite campuses, but by the same token, when you hear what's coming out, Jim, and this is what, mainstream America is seeing, and they're seeing that these kids are being indoctrinated. I mean, look what's going on right now. I mean, you got so many kids following, for example, Bernie Sanders in socialism. And we know that socialism is not compatible with a democratic republic. But yet it has risen its head in such a definitive way. And when you talk to these kids, they really don't understand what this represents. And you're going, wait a minute, these are smart kids. They're going to great colleges here, and their ideas about government and the way it should operate, it's like, where did that come from?
Well, I'm trying to stay away from the 2016 campaign because I'm trying to present something that I'm hoping both sides will like.
Yeah, exactly.
And, that is nonpartisan. So I don't want to comment on any particular candidate, but I will comment on the fact that the communist experiment that was tried all over the world was very nicely described by one professor who said, great idea, wrong species.
Exactly. Jim Stone on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.